downstairs if they'd like for children's church this morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. Remain standing for us. Let's honor God's word. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. You know, Friday, as you're turning there, Friday was kind of our Friday, Good Friday service. It was a good service, but it's just kind of just a real somber, and I don't know, if you're like me, an emotional crybaby sometimes, you know, I teared up, and it's just a sad kind of day remembering what Jesus did, and you know, we're in black shirts, and then this morning, it's just like, I'm excited, and everyone's in looking sharp this morning. You guys look good, and it's the sun's shining, it's bright, and it's exciting because he's risen. So at Matthew 28, 1 through 10, Matthew 28, 1 through 10, says this: "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. For the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning as we worship you and we talk about what your resurrection means for us, Lord, we glorify you and honor you for your work that you did on the cross and your resurrection, that you defeated death and that you paid the ultimate price for us. So Lord, as we dig into your word and as we talk about what this means for us and it means for people all throughout history, Lord, let us stay focused on you. And Lord, if there's areas of our lives today that we could submit to you and be more obedient, burden us with that. And if there's people here this morning that maybe they're here because it's Easter and this is the only time of year that they come, Lord, I ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to burden them this morning, that they will submit to you and put you first in their life, that you are the most important thing, that nothing else matters. And in all things, we want to glorify and honor you. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so today, as you know, is Easter Sunday, and it is it's the Sunday that Christians set aside all around the world to commemorate and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know all the details this morning, but we need to pray at the end of the service also. I don't know any of the details, but I heard this morning that there were attacks taking place around the world in Sri Lanka. Christians were being murdered at their churches this morning as they went to worship, and how horribly, horribly sad that is for our brothers and sisters around the world. So we need to remember them today as we are here having breakfast and worshiping together, and we're in a country that we're free, and that we're free to worship because men and women have fought, and God has willed that we have a country that's free. Let's remember that this morning, that nobody was assaulting us as we came in here, and if somebody comes in here to assault us, we have an armed security team that will take care of them, because we're free, and we have freedom to carry, and they're just awesome. So I don't want to get into all that this morning, but let's be reminded, and be reminded that there's Christians suffering all around the world that are trying to celebrate and worship Easter today and this. But guys, here's the thing on this. We shouldn't just celebrate this and think about this only this Sunday of the year. This is something that we talked about Friday, that his death and resurrection should be on our minds all the time. Because without the resurrection, we don't have anything. We don't have Christianity. We don't have a church. Without the resurrection, Jesus wasn't anything. If he didn't rise and defeat death, he's just another man. And everything that he said would have been a lie. But he did do that. And this resurrection, it is one of the most verifiable facts of all of human history. If you haven't ever read the book or watched the movie, The Case for Christ, you ought to do that, because it's a great book of a gentleman that was an investigative reporter that dug in to see if Christianity was the truth. And you know what he focused on? He focused on the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, there's no Christianity. So he set out to prove that this wasn't real. And he turned in to a follower of Christ as now a preacher when he set out to prove that it didn't happen. So Friday we talked about why Jesus went to the cross. And today I want to talk to you about the benefits of being a believer in the resurrection. Why is this important? What is Jesus' resurrection? I mean, it happened 2,000 years ago. If it's the most important thing in human history, and it's the most important thing for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, why is it important? Why is it important? And the first thing I want to talk about today is, without the resurrection, there's no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness. Without the resurrection, we're still dead in our sins. Only because of the resurrection of Jesus can we have forgiveness of our sins. Only because of that. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Verses 23 through 25. Romans 4, 23 through 25. Says this, Romans 4, 23 through 25. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So we're only justified before God because he was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. And only because of his death and burial and resurrection. What does that mean? Because of our sins, Jesus was handed over to die, and he was raised to life in order to put us right before God. So without that, without the resurrection, there's no brothers and sisters in Christ. We would be all dead in our sins. So what does that mean for us? Guys, that means everything. That's everything. It means it's our faith. It means that we have a hope of being in heaven. It means everything. That without that, we're in trouble. Without his resurrection, we're in trouble. You see, if we see Jesus as merely dying on the cross and being buried in the tomb, and then it ends there, then there is no hope. There's no hope and no forgiveness for us. It's in his resurrection that gives us assurance that Jesus overcame death, that he won a victory for his people. That's why I said, I don't know, sometimes I don't speak clearly. Maybe you don't understand what's in my head and it doesn't come out good in my mouth. That's why I said, like, I'm excited this morning and I'm happy and joyful because of what that means for us, what the resurrection means. That's why there should be joy and happiness, because it means everything. It means everything. It makes all the difference because it puts us right with God. Think of all of the amazing things that Jesus said to his disciples. I wrote down some here, and I want to read them to you, and they all have scriptural references. You don't have to look up every scripture, but I'll read them to you. The first one is that Jesus told them that he was God. He told them that he was God in flesh. That's in John 1:1. He said that he had come to seek and save the lost. That's in Luke 19. He said that he came to give his life as a ransom for many, Mark chapter 10. He said that he had come so his people might have life and have it more abundantly. That's in John chapter 10. He said that whoever was thirsty, spiritually thirsty speaking, could come to him and be refreshed. He said that to the woman at the well. I can give you water, we'll never thirst again. That's in John chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 7. In John chapter 8, he said that whoever would follow him would never walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. He said that he had come to give eternal life to his people. That's in John 10, 28. He said all those things, but then on Friday, can you imagine how his disciples felt? He was crucified. He was put on a cross. You know, we have the hindsight of being able to read the next chapter and see what happened and believe, have that preached to us, and we believe in our heart, we confess, and we're saved. They had Jesus' words, but then he's crucified. Can you imagine how they felt? How desperately, just hopeless, just what are we going to do? It was a terrible day. It was a terrible day. At noon, the sun, it suddenly disappeared. Everything became really dark. It became really dark. It was frighteningly dark. There was a huge earthquake. I mean, things happened. At a moment of his death, what happened in the temple? The veil in the temple was ripped in two. And that wasn't just like ripping a piece of paper. I'm not going to this morning, but if you've never dug into what the veil was, it wasn't a small thing. I mean, that was a huge thing that happened. And all of that happened. Those events took place, and the Romans guards, what did the Romans guards even say? The centurion said, surely, what did he say? Surely he was the Son of God. So all of those things happened. That's Matthew chapter 27. And then we see that his body was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and that's in chapter 27 of Matthew. And the message that had rang out was what? That Jesus was defeated. Satan thought he had won. Jesus is dead. I've got him. All the disciples had to have been discouraged and thought defeated. And there's a famous poem that was written. And the title of it is It's Friday, But Sunday's Coming. I'm not going to recite the whole thing. But that was Friday. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Today's Sunday. Today's Sunday. 3 days later on Sunday, the resurrection. 3 days after Jesus was buried, he rose physically and bodily from the grave. How do we know that? Was he just a spirit walking around? No. What did he say to Thomas? Thomas was probably a lot like me, or maybe you. Thomas said, I'm not believing any of this until I can stick my finger in his hands and in his side. And what did Jesus do? Jesus appeared to Thomas and he said, Thomas, put it there, partner. And he did. That he had a physical body. He did. And then he said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Man, that's awesome. But everybody thought, he's defeated. He's defeated. And then the resurrection happened. And when he rose again, there was victory. That's why I'm excited this morning. That's why I'm happy, because there's victory. He conquered death and hell. He conquered Satan and sin. And so we can sing, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he paid the penalty for sin. When he died, he defeated Satan. On the cross, he conquered the enemy. The resurrection of Jesus was God's stamp of approval. The resurrection was God saying, Jesus, I accept your death as a substitute for their sin. God saying, Jesus, I accept your death and resurrection as a substitute for your sin and my sin. That's why we should look at Easter and just get excited about it. And so thankful. So thankful. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can be confident. We can be confident that Jesus paid the penalty for the sin of his people. We can be confident in that. Ephesians 1:7 says this. Paul says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Let me read it again. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. If there was a single sin not covered by the death of Jesus, if there was a single sin that you could say, if you do that, you're out. If there was anything, brothers and sisters, that one thing that he did not die for, then he would have never been raised from the dead. He covered it. He'd still be in the tomb. He didn't. He defeated it. He has the stamp of approval. And because of Jesus' resurrection, we can be confident in what? That when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that God forgives us. We can be confident in that. You know, one thing that I see a lot of people struggle with, especially new believers, and not even necessarily new believers, old believers too, old salts. You know, they never forgive themselves. They beat themselves up for years and years and years about their old life that they used to live. You know that God doesn't do that. You know, when he died and you confess and you believe, what happens to your sin? I told somebody that this week. I said, man, you're going back and you're just beating yourself up over something that happened 20 years ago. What does Jesus do with our sin? Here's the verse. I want you to memorize this. One of my favorite verses, Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so he removes our transgressions from us. How far is the east is from the west? Got any math map wizards in here? Compass guys? How far is the east is from the west? It's infinite. It's infinite. So when you become a follower of Christ, what are you still graveling in your old sin about? God's not. It's done. Why? Because Jesus paid the ultimate price. And he defeated it. He defeated it on the cross. There's no other way to have your sins forgiven. That's it. I say this verse a lot because it's an important verse. Acts 4:12. There's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The resurrection guarantees that God will forgive our sin when we sincerely and wholeheartedly cry out to him forgiveness. When we believe in our heart, when we understand. Now listen, this isn't about if you say, oh yeah, it sounds like a good idea to be a follower of his. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you go on, and this is my next point. And you go on living like you want to live. That's not salvation. You don't know the Jesus that I know. Jesus' resurrection, the second point, allows us to do what? Live for him. It allows us to live for him. The resurrection of Jesus not only guarantees forgiveness of past sins, but it also gives us power for what? Daily living. For following him in our life. Because Jesus is a living Savior, he's not a dead Savior, he's a living Savior. He is able to empower us to live for him every day. Paul famously, and you all know it, says in Philippians 4:13, what is it? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now this is one of the most misunderstood, misquoted verses in all of Scripture. Through who? He doesn't give you the power to do it through you. Through who? Through him. Through him. Through him. To live for him. So what is Paul saying there? Where did he find his strength? In Christ. He found it in Christ. Let's think about Paul for a minute. Was Paul wealthy? No. No, no, no. Did Paul want what the world had to offer? Nope. Nope. What was he talking about? If I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What was he talking about? He's talking about godly things. He's talking about living for the King of Kings and holy living. That I can do it. I can do it. I can live for him through the strength that he gives me by being one of his followers. Where did he find his strength? In the Lord. And what happened with Paul when he started finding the strength in the Lord? Another great verse, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul started to be transformed. And then he starts discerning what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Why? Because he was finding strength in the Lord. And he was living for him. Because we serve a living Savior, we can now live for him. And he gives us the strength. We find the strength in him. So when Paul was saying he could do all things through Christ, he wasn't talking about money. He wasn't talking about, oh, because I'm a follower of Christ, this means I'm going to have a lot of money. This means I'm going to get what I want. I can pray for a new car and I'll get a new car. No, that wasn't what Paul was saying at all. It is not the prosperity. It's not that you become a follower of Christ and all your troubles are gone. No, have you ever read about the life of Paul? He had one of the most troubled lives. He was shipwrecked. He was abandoned. He was bitten by snakes. I mean, I don't know, but that didn't sound like a lot of fun. He was tortured and executed. He spent years in jail. This isn't a guy that inherited what the world thought was good. It wasn't. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. What's he talking about? I can live for him and I can serve him because he gives me strength. Not what the world has to offer. Not what the world has to offer. So that empty grave, what does that mean? What does the empty grave mean for us? It means we can live for him. If I was to go to Medina and look at Muhammad's grave, you know what I'm going to find? If you were to dig down, you're going to find his crusty old bones. You know what? Muhammad can't help you deal with life or comfort you. He's still dead. He's still in his grave. He was a normal guy, like me or you. Well, he wasn't too normal if you actually read about his life, but he's dead. Jesus is alive. And Jesus will, he will empower you for daily living because he's alive. You read his word. You pray to him. He convicts you of sin. That's how it works. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Highlight these verses, mark them down whenever you think nobody understands. Nobody understands what I'm going through in this life. Oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. I want you to read these verses, okay? Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence, stop there, with confidence, not like, oh, Jesus, please help me, with confidence, being confident, being able to what? Confident, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Does it say find a wad of cash to help in the time of need? No. Mercy and grace. You can draw with confidence. Why? Because he's alive. He can help us in our time of need. Comfort us in our time of need. You know, we sometimes think there's no way that Jesus can understand what I'm going through. I told you guys a couple weeks ago that I had the opportunity to officiate the service of my grandmother. And at a funeral, you're usually, you know, there's some tears and you're sad, even though we're supposed to be rejoicing when a follower of Christ goes to heaven. But usually we're sad, and I'm an emotional guy, so there's tears and there's people crying when I cry. I don't know how it works, but they you get a little upset. Did you know that Jesus wept? Jesus wept in Scripture too. He understands. He understands. Jesus' resurrection guarantees power for daily living. No matter what difficulty, no matter what trial, no matter the hardship. Does that mean we don't suffer? Yeah, we suffer. Go ask the Christians around the world today. But you know what it means? It means you can have hope because of him and his resurrection. And we can be obedient to what his word says. Not off our own program, doing what we want to do, living what we want to live. Because Paul could have done that. He could have done that. He was in a high position of authority. He was a Pharisee that had a high position. He was educated. He was somebody. He was a Roman citizen. I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted to do. What did he do? He became a servant. He served. And he lived his daily life following the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Paul knew that the resurrection was truthful. He knew it. Why? Because he saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Learn about it. He knew it. He knew it was truthful. Last thing here. Last thing. Guys, we have to, no matter how bad it gets here, no matter how bad it gets, where we're persecuted or we get letters saying, well, you can't talk about social issues anymore, or you can't, well, tough. We're going to take away your tax exempt status. I don't care. We'll just pay taxes. Whatever we have to do, no matter how. I think it'd be awesome if we had people picketing the church every Sunday because of how strong of Christians we were. That would be an okay thing. I'm serious. I'm being serious. We can't get worried about any of that. We have, because why? We have a hope. We have a hope in the resurrection. And there's a hope that we have. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, we don't have a hope for the future. There's no hope. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, you know what there is? There should be an expectation of judgment. If you here today don't believe in the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, you don't have a hope. If you've never confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed, you don't have a hope. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You're dead in your sins. You're a walking dead man, and your expectation should be one of judgment. That you're not going to stand before God. And at your funeral, you may have some preacher get up there and lie at your funeral and say, oh, they're flying with the angels. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. There's an expectation of judgment. And that's the truth. There's a saying that I love. Live your life, confessing Christ, and live your life so a preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral. So that everybody knows that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hope. We have a hope. We have a hope because we know what he said is truthful, and we know that God's word is true. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 6:14. God raised the Lord, and he will also raise us up by his power. That's a promise. That is a promise. What an awesome, magnificent promise that is. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will one day raise believers back to life as well. Man. So that means when I take my last breath on this earth, what does Scripture say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't fear death. I know there's some people that are scared, literally like scared to death of dying. Why? Like, who cares? I heard of a story of, there was a famous preacher, and I don't even have it in my notes, but I just remember it. He was in a subway in New York. I don't think it was D.L. Moody, but it possibly could have been. But he was in a subway in New York, and I've been to New York, and it wasn't dangerous when I was there. We had a good time. But in the subway, you know, there's all sorts of people there, and some guy sticks a gun up to his back or his chest, and he says, give me your wallet right now. And the preacher kind of looks at him and laughs and just smiles. And the guy's like, did you hear me? I'm going to kill you. And he said, man, you're threatening me with heaven. You're threatening me with heaven. That's how we got to look at it, guys. So when we get sick and we have cancer, I'm sure that's happened to somebody in your family or your household. Or you have to go through 20 heart surgeries. And I tell them, behave. Don't be out there working, right? Alan's not worried. He has a hope that's in Christ. In fact, he's ornery. For you guys that don't know, when I went to see him, he just had another heart procedure done. And I was trying to find his hospital room. And it was like a maze in Mercy. I don't even know where I was going. And I called him on the phone. I'm like, Alan, where's your room? And I finally find his room. And I'm talking to Hunter's with me. Walk into the room. And Alan's got a white sheet pulled over his bed. And I walk into the room. I'm like, I don't say a word. And then he pulls the sheet down. And if I'd have been thinking when I walked into the room, I'd have looked at Carol and said, well, this was an answered prayer, wasn't it? But I wasn't thinking. But here's the thing. When Alan goes into stuff like that, and he's had multiple heart surgeries, is he worried? Oh. Alan's like, man, if I die, I'm going to wake up in heaven. I don't care. That's the kind of attitude we have. Now, I'm not wishing death. I'm not going to run out on the highway today and play chicken with a semi, all right? Don't do that. But I know the hope that we have. So when bad things happen, it's okay. It's okay. We deal with them. We mourn together. But it's okay because we have a hope that can only be found through what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection. It can't be, you don't have a hope if you aren't in Christ. I read this verse at my grandmother's funeral, 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Man, we can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. Man. That's awesome. We don't have that hope if it's not for Easter morning. It's not about the bunny jumping around leaving chocolate. Leave some chocolate for me. That's cool, but it's about the resurrection, guys. That's what it's about. It's not about anything else. It's about that and the hope that we have. Man, that's an awesome hope. John 14, 1 through 2 says this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I would go to prepare a place for you." Right now, Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for every single Christian. Wow, that is awesome. He is not preparing a place. Now, I'm not going to be politically correct, nor will I ever be. He is not preparing a place for Muslims, for Buddhists, for Hindus, for atheists, for unbelievers, for Jehovah's Witnesses, for Mormons, because they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. That's not politically correct, and I personally don't care. That's the truth. We have a hope, brothers and sisters. They don't. He is preparing a place for those who trust in him with real, live, vital, vigorous faith. And one day that those who wholeheartedly believe in Jesus will die and go to him and will live in heaven for all eternity. Man, that is a hope. That's the hope that the resurrection brings, and that only the resurrection brings. That's a hope that we have for those who are in Christ Jesus, who know him as their personal Lord and Savior, that we are going to spend an eternity with him in heaven. That's amazing. So as I close here today, and I'm going to ask our team to come, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. You know, on Easter, we had a lot of people here this morning that came for sunrise service and then had other stuff and they left, and we have a big crowd today, but you know, a lot of times people really just focus on Christ at Easter time. You know, Christmas and Easter. I call them CEOs, Christmas, Easter only, right? Those are the two times they focus on Christ. And it really is sad. It's sad. So you may be here this morning, and this may be the only time you hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. If you don't have a personal relationship with him, there is no hope. Your sins are not forgiven, but you can be sure. You can be sure that your sins can be forgiven. You may be here and you know that Jesus isn't real in my daily life. He's not real. I don't have a relationship with him like I know that I should have. And if you were to die today, if you ask yourself, if I was to die on my way home, would I be in heaven? Everybody needs to ask themselves that. That you can have a hope of where you're going to spend eternity. Let me share with you real quick how you can have that hope. And everybody in this room can have that hope. First, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. That your sins have violated a holy and just God. And because he's holy and just, there's a punishment that has to be paid for your sin. That you violated him. And then it was your sin that sent Jesus to the cross. That's the first thing. Second, you must believe that Jesus died for your sins. That the worst part of his crucifixion was that your sins were put on him. That he didn't deserve it because he lived a perfect life. But he paid for them because he loves you. And you must put your faith and trust in what he did on the cross and what he did on the cross alone. We talked with the youth this morning about sacraments. It's not about taking communion. It's not about baptism. It's not about church membership. It's about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins. And third, you got to confess. You got to confess to the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, Scripture says, that you're putting your faith and trust in what he did. And the Bible says if you do that, you can have assurance that he has forgiven you and that your sins have been removed. I urge you to plead with God this morning if you're not a follower, to get down on your knees and truly confess and repent of your sin and know that you can be saved. We're going to have an invitation. If you need to come, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. I thank you that, Lord, that he was resurrected, that the power proves that his death and resurrection defeated sin and death. And we can have forgiveness through his blood and his resurrection. Lord, if there's people here today, I don't care if they've been here every Sunday the whole year or if this is the first time they're here. Lord, if your Holy Spirit's working in their life, drag them up here this morning. Drag them up here that they will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart so that one day, Lord, I'll see them in heaven. Lord, if there's believers here today that aren't living for you, that are living in sin, let them confess their sins. If there's people here that have never been obedient in baptism, Lord, that they've made a confession of faith, they need to be baptized. Well, let them be obedient in being baptized. And if my brothers and sisters here who have been confessed with their mouth you and they've been baptized and they're not serving you by being a part of this body, that Lord, you'll convict them. You'll convict them of their laziness in not joining and working and serving. Lord, for us that are here, let us live as leaders in this church, not only leaders but members. Let us live holy, godly lives that people can look at us as examples. Lord, convict of us our sin daily that we confess our sins to you so we can be an example to other believers. And Lord, bless this church. Let it continue to multiply. Lord, I pray for Marshfield and the people that are lost and dying. Lord, let us reach them with the same enthusiasm that we watch football on TV, that we get excited about you and serve you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.